Good evening. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the final council meeting for Brighton Council for 2023. Thank you very much for your attendance. Welcome to councillors, senior staff, and members of the public gallery. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Palawaipakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Litruwita, and forward our respects to our elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Litruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item 2 is attendance. All councillors are present. Item 3 is applications for leave of absence. All councillors are present, so there is no requirement for that. Item 4 is confirmation of minutes. And item 4.1 is confirmation of minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 21st of November. And they were on pages 2 to 63 of our agenda attachments. Is there any issues, concerns, amendments? If not, can I get someone move? Moved by Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Is there any debate? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4.2 is the minutes of the Planning Authority meeting held on the 5th of December, and obviously on pages 64 to 67 of our attachments. Is there any issues or concerns? If not, can I have someone move? Moved by Councillor Della Torre, seconded by Councillor Irons. If there's no debate, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4.3 is audit panel minutes. It was an audit panel meeting held on the 20th of October, and those minutes are submitted for confirmation. Moved by Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor Geard. There's no debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 5 is declaration of interest. Is there anything on tonight's agenda that anyone wishes to declare an interest in? Councillor Irons?
13.1 for me, please.
Thank you. I will just note that the last time that particular item was discussed, I did declare an interest in that I was applying for a board position, that one of the applicants was on the selection panel. That board position has been, or that board has been elected. Although I wasn't successful, I'm now clear, in my opinion, to continue to stay in the room for that item. But just that be noted. Item 6 is public question time and deputations, and there aren't any. Item 7 is reports from council. And we will, just if you would like to note that obviously Mrs. Hetrick, responses to her questions that she posed at the last council meeting and provided in that particular agenda item, and are noted in that agenda and will be published. Item 7 is reports from council. 7.1 is the Mayor's communications, and they're listed on page 6 of our agenda. Is there any questions in regards to any of those? If not, can I have someone move that be accepted? Moved by Councillor Geard, seconded by Councillor Murtagh. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 7.2 is reports from council representatives. Are there any reports to be presented this evening?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Geard.
As a local government rep on the State Right Commission to attend up at Alberston to the first time ever that they've had 9 new recruits join the fire service, so, and all those will be actually stationed at Devonport and Burnie, which they've had in the past of trying to get members. Actually, quite an interesting turnout that day, about 150 odd people, though, I just couldn't believe it, the number of people there. And instead of normally when I've seen them before down in Hobart and when I've been back with the brigade, it was live, but this time it was on video. So, and they said that was really good because they take one or take two on it. So, but no, there was two ladies in amongst it, and they were very competent people. So, look, it's a blessing for the northwest coast to get that. The other one that I missed before was just so people aware that I the Brighton senior senior citizen school group. I was asked to go and give a talk on our council emergency management, on that as local coordinator, and also give an aspect of the area of Brighton in conjunction with the fire and SES, what that looks like in the area, so they're as aware of it. So it was a very interesting session. I was quite surprised the number of people there, and more so in the number of questions that came out. So they were very inquisitive and wanted to know. So well, first off, I sent them straight to our website and the emergency service website, where we can look at our emergency plan, the fire service plan, and the SES stuff. So I think I'll give them some homework. So, but that was interesting.
Thanks, Peter. Was that for the school for the seniors?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Councillor Owen.
Thank you, Mayor. I attended my first Cycling South meeting as council rep on the 28th of November. It was an online meeting. It was very interesting. Certainly some positive improvements in cycling opportunities happening through various government grants at the moment. And immediately Glenorchy, Kingborough and Clarence being the beneficiaries of those. The meeting cycle's been changed to more easily accommodate our representation, which is very good of them, and my presence was well received. Last week I attended the Jordan River Learning Federation Senior School Final Assembly and presented Brighton Council education bursaries to the recipients, which was, again, a very good function, and the teachers and the students behaved themselves in exceptional manner. Had to be kept warned, you know, through the process, but they did an excellent job. And earlier today I attended the Herdsman's Cove Primary Final Assembly to present Council's Community Awareness Awards. And tomorrow, on Thursday, I'll be attending the East Derwent Primary Final Assembly. On Sunday, I've got those programs there if anyone wants to have a look at them. And on Sunday, I was at the Under One Rainbow activities at Chris Fitzpatrick Park and accepted on behalf of Council a certificate of appreciation from that organisation. So I'll table that too. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Owen. Anything further? Councillor Irons.
Just one major one for me, which was the Greater Hobart Homeless Alliance meeting on the 7th and the 12th. But obviously just the same points as last time, so many people doing it tough, just unprecedented numbers, which are just so scary from City Mission and a number of different places that are just full, but also some really amazing support coming through for them, which is great, but an obvious need there for more assistance. Some very interesting presentations from a guy from Housing Australia, who I very excitedly noted down what I thought would be a lot of amazing opportunities for our municipality, only to be told he's been meeting with James regularly, so that was a waste. So I was going to one-up that big fella, but that's all right. Still some amazing opportunities there, which I suspect will be involved in it at some point, and I'll catch up with you, James, at some point and see if you do know more than me. I just think the other thing sort of worth noting is, you know, when you hear of all these things and then you note some of the things happening in our community with food hubs and all these things, there's no time that they're needed more than this, I don't think. And obviously, as the council supported those things, it's a great thing to get behind. So.
Cheers. Thank you. Anything further from any other councillors? Can I have someone move that those three reports be received? Moved by Councillor Della Torre, second by Councillor McMaster. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. I do note that obviously we have passed public question time and deputations, but Andrew, did you wish to address council?
Yes.
Councillors, can I ask for your indulgence to allow Mr. Bullock to address council?
Would you like a motion to that effect?
If you wouldn't mind, that'd be fantastic. Councillor Della Torre, second by Councillor Owen, that we revert back to public question time and deputations to allow Mr. Bullock to speak. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Andrew. Do you want to speak from there, or you're more than welcome to come up the front?
Thanks for the opportunity to address the council.
Most of you probably know me. I've been around for a while, hounding you, trying to get council to stop dumping construction and demolition material in uncontrolled landfills in our municipality. Last December, I made some complaints to the council about development at Pondville Oval, where there was a heap of road waste being buried there. I got a letter back from the general manager saying that we need to do better as a council and that we're putting things in place to mitigate our waste responsibilities and recycle and reuse, and to look at contractors that recycle products and bits and pieces. And that was fine, and I left it at that. But like, I've been lobbying this council for 10 years for some change, and I just picked up the tender documents for the first stage of Andrew Street reconstruction, where there's 6,000 tonnes of construction and demolition material to be carted to 97 Nelson's Building Road. The successful contractor is to take it there, provide an excavator, place it in the washouts that occurred in 1960, and compact it in 300mm layers using a pad foot roller. So it sort of triggered me to say, well, why are you allowed to cut 6,000 tonnes of material out to a farm for burial? I picked up the tender documents, and I seen that the council's paid for a geotech report to be done to actually backfill and rehabilitate these washout areas from 1960, which should take 1,000 to 1,500 cubic metres of material. Now, if you read the tender documents and the items in the tender documents on the BOQ, where it says you to take the material out to the landfill and basically bury it and compact it, it goes against the GO report that was provided with the tender. So you're actually asking the tenderers, or the successful tenderers, to go against the conditions of the report and the instructions on how to rehabilitate that site and what materials to use. And I know that the materials are going out there for waste disposal, because the council spent $58,000 of ratepayers' money putting a road into a private farm, and they've also paid probably $30,000 to $40,000 for a geotechnical soil report to actually give themselves a green light to dump this material out there. And as you all know, that goes against everything that I stand for as a recycler and a reuse. And like, we've got a council here that I think nowadays should know better. And after 10 years, why do I have to keep coming down here telling you that you're doing the wrong thing and that you need to change your ways? Because at the end of the day, I had to spend two lots of money, $50,000 each time, to comply with all the council and EPA regulations to run my resource recovery facility, and then use the going out, entering private property, spending ratepayers' money building a road to use it for the next 10 years as a landfill, and you're paying for his geotech reports. How's that fair to me, to have to pay for my own and to do it twice, and then for the ratepayers to actually pay for this farmer to have a road put into his property to rehabilitate washouts that have got nothing whatsoever to do with the council, and it gives the council a prime location to bury mass volumes of concrete, asphalt, road waste, concrete pits, concrete pipes, stage one of Andrew Street of 6,000 tonnes.
I'll just be aware.
When you're spending ratepayers' money,
Mr. Bullock,
grant money,
Mr. Bullock,
to actually
Mr. Bullock,
take material out,
Mr. Bullock, your 5 minutes has expired. I will ask councillors if they wish to give you an extension of time to continue addressing council.
3 minutes. I'm prepared to.
Moved by Councillor Owen, second by Councillor Della Torre. I put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, you have a further 3 minutes.
It's like we're living in Russia, isn't it? The Russian democracy. Like, I should be allowed to come here and spend half an hour talking if I like.
There is a requirement.
To do with our environment.
There is a requirement under Mr. Bullock. There is a requirement under the Act and under the meeting procedures that we operate under, that you are given a particular amount of time.
I think that every councillor here, every councillor that's on the financial committee, that's on the environment committee and the climate change committee, should take this information into consideration and actually lobby this council and its managers to actually stop these processes contaminating farm and land that you have done for the last 30 years that I can recall, and to stop doing it, because at the end of the day, if you've got a facility in your municipality that will take this material and recycle it and sell it back to you cheaper than what the natural products are, isn't that a lot more environmentally sustainable than what it is to keep burying valuable resources in the ground, polluting soil and water, and then replacing that product with virgin products from borrow, from quarries? How is that environmentally sustainable? How can you as a council say that by 2035 you're going to be 70% or 90% carbon neutral, when actual fact, if you look at the way your business model is for your waste management, you're actually well behind, and you've probably still got 100% rating, because just because you've got a couple of electric cars or you've got a few solar panels doesn't make you 70% emissions reductions, when you're actually spending ratepayers' money to take machinery out to farms, bury waste, creating all of that emissions, and then replacing it with virgin products. And it's a lot more harm to the environment to replace construction and demolition material with virgin products because of the energy created, the energy needed to create those products. So you're not very environmentally sustainable as per your booklet that you put out last couple of weeks, your annual general meeting, which says how you are environmental leaders and you're environmentally sustainable. You're far from it. You just wouldn't have the first clue about the environment or the pollution that you're putting out there. You build a road, you mill it with a machine, you turn that into dust. Everybody's now probably aware of silicosis, and what that actually does is just like asbestos. When you mill your roads and you take them down to parks in Pondville and you leave them sitting there in 50 or 60 piles for months on end, and you've got little kids down there playing sports, sucking in this rubbish that's in this material, and you just think it's fine to have there and cover over just because your last engineer said that it's inert material. It's only inert material in a controlled environment, and a controlled environment is a registered landfill and someone that's got proper stormwater management, because as soon as you bury asphalt in the ground and water can get at it, it just leaches into the soil and breaks down. So you're actually polluting farming land by taking your roads out there to dump. And I want to know, as councillors, like, you could say I get pretty fired up about this because it pisses me off to no end that there's that many people in this room that should be able to stand up and say that in this day and age, this is not good enough, it's not acceptable, and you're the worst council in southern Tasmania that I've dealt with when it comes to resource recovery and recycling and reuse.
Councillor,
you brag about having a circular economy. Council could have a circular economy from its own waste. but it chooses to bury those resources in the ground on people's farms and replace them with virgin products. How is that environmentally sustainable? It's not.
Mr. Bullock, thank you. You've given us some questions, and certainly from my perspective, and I'm sure from the councillor's perspective.
What am I going to get back this time is another letter from the general manager saying we've got to do better. That's what I got 12 months ago. It's not acceptable.
I think we, if I may say that we...
Why are ratepayers paying to put private roads into private properties for council to go and dump their material?
Council will address your questions from this evening. And you will get a response from our general manager. Those responses will also be listed on next month's council agenda for everyone to see. But James, can I give you an opportunity just to quickly respond?
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. As per the meeting regulations, I'll provide a response on the next council agenda. I won't go into all the details just now in this meeting of why we feel Mr. Bullock's wrong in pretty much every allegation that he makes.
Oh, I'm wrong. What do you know about the environment?
Sorry, there's no debate.
Mr. Bullock, can I ask you? Can I ask
your
you to?
Environmental.
Can I ask you to stop, please?
Yeah. You're environmental polluter. You're using our money now to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Bullock. No, we'll move on with
our
agenda.
I won't come back again. I've been doing this for 10 years.
Thank you. Item 8 is miscellaneous correspondence.
And you've got two people there that don't understand what resource recovery and recycling in the circular economy is. It's actually pathetic.
I had a couple of points.
If you people to be voted in, you should all have a say in this. Yeah. Instead of letting those people spend our money to put roads into private property. It's absolutely disgusting.
Just a couple other points.
My next stop will be the Mercury or Current Affair. They'll like to hear a story like this. Maybe they'll draw a bit of action.
Thanks,
Andrew. I know ratepayers wouldn't be too happy with it.
For the benefit of people here, I will respond on the next council agenda to the questions. I don't want to go into all the details. You have already been briefed on most of the matters raised in an email last week. You have already been updated yesterday, I think it was, that the EPA has investigated the site and the processes, no doubt in response to a complaint. We've been given the all clear on that. And I'd also make the point that staff, including myself, have put a huge amount of time into Andrew Bullock's concerns and allegations over the last couple of years. He's certainly had plenty of attention and plenty of time, regardless of the time limits tonight. So just to make that point as well. And the rest I'll answer on the public agenda. But suffice to say, myself and the staff involved in the EPA don't agree with any of it, and that's about it.
Thanks, councillors, for your indulgence in regards to allowing me to let Mr. Bullock to speak. I think it was still worthwhile to give him the floor. So we'll move on with our agenda and commence back on item 8, which is miscellaneous correspondence. And there is an email from the Chief Executive Committee for Greater Hobart acknowledging our membership and working and welcoming us as an enterprise member. And obviously that was on page 73 of our attachments. Item 9 is notification of council workshops. And we did have a workshop on the 5th of December in regards to LGBTIQA+ inclusion matters and also the Old Beach Foreshore track. And attendees are listed on our agenda on page 7. Item 10 is notices of motion, and there are no notice of motion in this particular agenda. Item 11 is consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. There are no supplementary items. Item 12 is report from committee. There are no reports from committee. Item 13 is council acting as a planning authority. Just remind everyone that we're acting under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. Councillor Irons is now leaving the room as declared an interest. And we'll move on to item 13.1, is a planning scheme amendment for 203 and 205 Old Beach Road, Old Beach. And hand over to David.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is a planning scheme amendment that was initiated by Council in the October meeting, and it's now been exhibited from the 21st of October to the 20th of November. During the exhibition, we received three representations. Two of those were from authorities, one from a private entity. The officers have determined that no modifications to the draft amendments are required. The representation raised a number of valid issues. Some of these, and well, quite a few of these, are actually more related to any future subdivision application more so than the rezoning, but I'll touch on them anyway. The key concerns was around sewer and the fact that the sewer pump station that's there has been designed for and paid for a certain amount of capacity through the Tivoli Green area. Tazwater have confirmed that any new application would have to pay a contribution to any additional capacity that was required. They've also confirmed that no pump station will be allowed in any flooding area. So there's a lot of queries around stormwater, but obviously a stormwater management plan will be required as part of any future subdivision application. Again, around public open space contributions, that's something we'll look more closely at during the future subdivision application, but there's an opportunity to either get 5% land or a contribution to the amount of 5%. Traffic was probably the more relevant one, in that there are a few errors in the TIA that was submitted with the rezoning, just particularly around what's there now and the traffic that's being generated. But what it did highlight is that around when it's about 450 lots in that area, that the level of service at the Riviera Drive and the East Durham Highway intersection will be unacceptable. And there's also been a more recent TIA done for the Tivoli Green area as part of the subdivision, and the numbers in that line up. So while there's a few errors, the key points are consistent. Obviously, we will request an updated TIA under any future subdivision application, and the code in that allows us to look at the entire road network. So we'll be seeking an updated version of that. We also did turn our minds to whether we should include the Tivoli Green specific area plan over this land. After looking at it, we thought that the general residential zone did the work that was required, and that the connections to the existing road network within the master plan are pretty obvious, so there's no need to sort of get them to master plan it and add to the Tivoli Green SAP. So the recommendation is for the information to go to the Planning Commission with no modifications.
Thank you, David. Councillors, any questions of David in regards to this particular planning item? Councillor Whelan.
Excuse me, David. Is there a difference between the standard of construction for the general residential zone and the low density zone, given that there is concerns about traffic generation? Noting that we don't have a policy for what construction standards we need for low density.
Well, I don't know whether you want to take that one, Cal, but my understanding is that it'd be done by the municipal standard drawings in Tasmania.
So then the same.
For the road construction?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And water as well?
Yep. Yep.
So no open drain?
Well, that's not necessarily the case, but the same standards are applied across, in some scenarios, obviously open drains are permitted, but construction is to the standard drawings in either case.
Councillors, any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation on page 18 that we resolve the report be sent off to the Commission. Moved by Councillor Owen, second by Councillor Murtagh. If there's no debate, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving on, item 14 is officers' reports, and can I just ask that Councillor Irons be...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if I could explain what's happened.
Yeah, I'm just going to hand over to Ange.
Yeah, so completely my fault. I sent Alyssa the report that we actually endorsed back in July, I think it was.
Yeah.
In error. And so what's happened is that tonight's report with the MOU is not actually in the agenda, but I have it here, so I can hand out the MOU and the actual report.
This is for the community hub?
Sorry, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
For the community hub.
So we'll come back to that if I may. So item 14...
When we get to that time, we might...
Oh, okay.
Is that time precious, or would that be one to defer to January?
It is time precious in that... We have done a media release ready to go out on Thursday.
Well, maybe we could adjourn when the time when we get to that one.
Yeah.
We might have a short adjournment.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Thank you. Councillors, we'll continue on. Item 14.1 is safeguarding children and young people, and we have a draft policy and complaints handling procedure. Which has been distributed, and I'll hand over to the General Manager for an explanation.
Thank you, Mayor. Ange might like to add to this, but in short, these new laws come into practice on January the 1st. Council and Legat pushing hard for a sector-wide approach to these. It's crazy that you've got councils all doing their own policies. It should be identical across every council, but it is coming into place January 1, so we have a policy and we've developed complaints procedures and so on so that we have a system in place and are compliant, but we'll be working with Legat and others to hopefully supersede this in the next few months with identical policies across all councils. Did you have anything to add?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the advice from Legat has been that we do three key things prior to this coming into effect on the 1st of January. That was to adopt a policy, which we have based on the Derwent Valley policy. Legat feels that we should try as much as possible to have that across local government approach. So that is the policy that you will have seen here in the agenda today, that we develop an interim way of handling any complaints or allegations that come in. Again, from the 1st of January, if we get any allegations or complaints, we need to handle them in the way that the legislation, the Act, outlines. So that's why we have written up a procedure that's included here. Interestingly, today it has been announced that the independent regulator has been appointed, so a media release came out today. So that is a lady by the name of Louise Coe, who is from New South Wales and has worked in this area extensively in New South Wales. The third thing was to establish the working group internally, which we have already done as well, and that's what you're endorsing today too. So we will kind of have those three key things in place for the 1st of January.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions of the General Manager or Angela?
We've actually adopted that per se. We haven't changed it much. What I'm worried about is if we change it and all the other councils, it's really not the Derwent Valley policy, is it?
I've got to
give the Gap credit by picking someone out of the area that's a reasonable policy. So that's good news, at least for starters.
Yes.
I agree with the general manager. It's just ridiculous each of us councils doing it.
Yeah, so through you, Mr. Mayor, it's pretty much consistent with what Derwent Valley adopted, and they were sort of ahead of all the other councils in terms of investigating what needed to happen.
Yeah, and if I could just add, our version has been shared very widely via the GAT with all other general managers, so everyone's trying to pretty much do the same, but again, they should look and feel the same at some point as well.
Second.
Thank you. The recommendation has been moved by Councillor De La Torre and seconded by Councillor Murtagh. Is any discussion or debate? Debate, not discussion.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just thank the officers for the time they've taken to investigate this matter. The policy looks really good in my eyes. It's quite a strong policy and should go a long way towards protecting children in the municipality, as we're required to do, but good conscience, it looks like a good policy that will do more than we require. So,
thank you. Thank you. Is there anything further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14.2 is the Brighton Community Food Hub and the relocation to Lennox Park in Old Beach. James, is this you?
I might handball this one straight across to Angela.
Yep. It's fine. Through you, Mr. Mayor. We have been working very closely with the Brighton Community Food Hub, as council committed to do so, to try and find a more permanent location here in our municipality so that the food hub can operate on an ongoing basis without the need to be moving in and out of the civic centre and so on. So we investigated lots of different options. There weren't a lot available in our municipality, but in the end it came down to what I've been calling the Scout Hut at Lennox Park. The Scouts run their joeys in there. There's only a couple of joeys in the program at the moment, and they very graciously have said that they're happy to give up that Scout Hut for such an important operation as our community food hub. Moving forward, we would develop a lease agreement with the food hub to lease that, to give them security in that location. It means that the food hub is not transporting lots of items. They've also been donated that container from McConnell Dale that was part of a program for young women to do some work in trades, and that will become storage and be located down there as well. And our officers are working on a development application, a permit application for that site, and I understand council will be the applicant.
Thanks, Ange. Councillors, any questions? Great. Councillor Irons.
Mr. Mayor. I just think, again, probably with that exposure to the Greater Hobart Homeless Alliance and just everything we're seeing in the media with cost of living and just how tough people are doing it, and, you know, we know the value of volunteers and, you know, if these people are being paid for their time, these things suddenly aren't feasible anymore. And, look, the only thing I'd question is at $63 per week whether we could potentially look at just supporting it and having it as a free charge. I think for the value that it provides, and $60 a week isn't changing a lot, but would make a big difference. That would be the only thing I'd put forward for discussion.
I'll make that into a question for probably Ange and Gillian. Is that an issue or is that a concern?
No, it sets a precedent, which is hard. But...
It's... through you, Mr. Mayor. It is a very nominal fee. We've sort of tried to set it up the same as what we do our other peppercorn leases. So the other option would be to waive that fee and then charge the outgoings to the food hub, so they would have to pay for their garbage removal. The water and sewer cannot sort of be like divided on that site. Totally up to council, though. So.
Thank you. Councillors, any further questions? And we have a recommendation in front of us, and certainly just in regards to Councillor Ryan's, you certainly may move that with an amendment to that recommendation if you see fit.
Yeah,
so in your hands, councillors.
Could I just clarify so that basically incorporates, just so I've got my head around it, so those costs are basically incorporated in there, so if that goes, then those costs would still be there and sort of...
Exactly. So at the moment, we sort of did a bit of a rough estimate on how much the outgoings would be. So the outgoings of that building, if we set it up the same as other peppercorn leases around the municipality that have sole use of their buildings, they have to pay for all outgoings. So we can change this to say that council give it rent free and then they pay out all outgoings, or totally up to you. You can waive the rent, waive the outgoing. So it's we just tried to sort of work out how much and what sort of rent do other people pay within the municipality. So if you don't want them to pay anything and have that listed as a donation in the annual report each year, by all means, do it.
Just a question, that's how much they pay?
They're like under our junior policy, so they don't,
I would certainly like to move it with that amendment, that it's a donation by council, or it would be worded, so I'm not... don't know how to do this very well, but...
No, that's quite all right. So, essentially, I would say, Councillor Irons, if you're happy that instead of having for a period of 2 years at a rate of $63.46, it be worded as 2 years free of charge.
It shows a donation.
And probably just another additional words that to be revisited after the end of
2 years.
The lease.
Would we put that down as show us, and we normally put it down as a donation, so we've got a bit of words in there as well?
So it'd be a donation of the value.
We can certainly add that to the to part one as well, Alyssa, if we may. That is to be shown in the grants and donations budget in the annual report. That new motion has been moved by Councillor Irons. Is there someone prepared to second? Councillor De La Torre has seconded. Councillor Irons, you wish to speak to the motion?
No, look, I think I've said it all so far. I think the value of looking after our community in these tough times has just been fantastic with these folks, and great to see that we can save those volunteer hours that can go into other things by having a permanent setup. I think it's fantastic, and hopefully the need continues to drop, but they can continue to grow.
Thank you. Councillor De La Torre.
I guess the only thing I'd add is that I'm really pleased that we've managed to fund the home and that they can get out of this cycle of moving in and out. As Councillor Irons has said, I know it's a lot of work for the volunteers each fortnight, so really pleased that they've got a space to call their own.
Thank you. Councillors, anything further?
No.
Councillor Whelan.
Clarification. I'm not 100% sure that Old Beach is the best position for this site. Are we still going to continue to look in the 348 area for an alternative sort of moving forward?
That's why we've set a 2-year lease. Longer term, we were actually looking at some kind of situation around the youth hub itself as well, with the food hub. So that would be the longer term solution, where it's a purpose built as part of the youth hub facility. Yeah.
Does that answer your question, Councillor?
No, Councillor Rowan. So I agree with Councillor Whelan on that score. Transport is a very, very serious issue for a lot of the people in our municipality, and great idea to have their own set up at the moment, but it really would be better if we could get it closer to the people.
Councillor Owen, and I'll just confirm, 90%, Jeff?
It's 94%.
I had a discussion with the Food Hub yesterday, just in regards to the same issue, Councillor Owen, and asked that particular question. 94% of users of the Food Hub travel there by vehicle. So it's a huge percentage in regards to access. There is 6%, obviously, that walk or don't access it by vehicle. But they did do a survey during the discussion period with our staff to sort of, I suppose, make sure that they were still going to cater for the majority of those users.
Yeah, I only go by what I witnessed in the initial stages, Mayor, that many were arriving in taxis, which there seems to be a bit of a false economy there, and there's also seemed to be a lot of cars with more passengers than seatbelts arriving, which is another concern. Yeah. That's the only reason I'll raise
it. No, thank you, Councillor Roll. I'll just add that obviously the Brighton Community Food Hub is also an award-winning organisation, and we certainly gave a presentation at Keep Australia Beautiful Awards up in Oatlands a few weeks ago, and obviously received some awards as well. So I think it's a fantastic amended motion, Councillor Irons. So thank you very much for that, and I'll certainly be supporting it. Councillor, is there anything further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Sorry, was there someone against? No? Thank you. We have an issue with item 14.3, and what I'd ask is for your indulgence again to adjourn the council meeting. If possible, please, to have a quick discussion in regards to that particular item before proceeding. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor De La Torre, second by Councillor Irons. I'll put the motion that we suspend the council meeting for a period of 10 minutes. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you.